up in the morning with Boomer. Picture that. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
Sorry, just texting.
Who is up that you're texting with?
Yeah, the 6 o'clock show started 8 minutes ago.
What's up, Boom?
Hey, buddy! 6:08.
Who are you texting?
It's my chick.
She's up.
Well, here's what it is. And I'm not slagging her, but it's... Well, the Black Thursday sales, the Black Friday, they start now. And if do we get the big one or the small one? Well, what size do we? What color? Do you think you'd like this one? Because if we got to order, wait a minute, this is the U.S. site. It's asking for a U.S. This is in American dollars. Do you think maybe we should?
Do we have a zip code, honey? Trying to save some money for Christmas, aren't you?
Jay, could you give me the what the hell is going on around here? Because I could really use it right about now. That would be great. After the little text exchange and the back and forth that I've been having.
Well, mishap there.
On my
what the hell's going on out here?
There you go. That's how it's going for me. How's it going for you? Flames, impressive win last night. You look at the shot clock and it'll tell you that the Sharks outshot them 32-19 and they had some chances and they were buzzing for a period of time in the third period. And maybe it's not a 60-minute effort for the Flames.
Hasn't been much this year.
But you know what? At some point, teams are going to have some momentum. You're not going to continually take it to teams for 60 minutes. The Sharks are a pretty good team, despite what their record might say. You have Thornton and Pavelski and Marlowe and those types of players. They're going to put on pressure. I don't know. I just watching that game last night. Might have been the turning point for me in the can they do this long-term kind of a thing.
What made it click for you? Because I sort of felt the same way. When you watch them go into someone else's building, that's not easy. Your goalie plays well. You get timely goals. You kill off penalties. You look good on the power play. I mean, they didn't wallop San Jose, but
no.
They continue to find ways to win. What was it for you?
A few things. And I'll tell you when we come back.
Oh, that's a huge tease.
I'll tell you when
you
we come back.
Tease.
610, Sports at 960, The Fan.
Get in on the conversation now. Text the show at 960-960. Boomer in the morning. Only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
It's a thing I struggle with now. Whenever we come in from a commercial break and this song is playing, it's everything I can do not to rear back and just go...
A bale of hay.
A bale of hay!
You're pretty sure that's what it is.
Yeah.
Narrowed it down.
Yeah,
what do you say?
I just may. 6:16, Flames win 2-0. Last night at the Shark Tank, San Jose outshooting the Flames by a count of 32-19, but a pair of goals from Jiří Hudler, one into an empty net, the difference in this game. A pair of assists from TJ Brody. Why? Before the break, we talked about, briefly, albeit, last night felt to me like, if for no one else than me, but you said it was also kind of, just felt like, okay, I might be buying in now. And for a number of different reasons. Number one, the calendar. It is American Thanksgiving.
That's fair.
We've talked about it. Peter Maher, the great Peter Maher, has always said it. The numbers are there. Ken Holland has actually talked about it when we've had him on the show. I don't know exactly what the percentages and numbers are, but if you are in a playoff spot or you're one of those teams in that range at American Thanksgiving, barring a catastrophic injury or something unforeseen, your record is pretty much indicative of what you are. You are what your record says you are. So number one for me was the calendar. Number two, just they won a low-scoring game. They didn't have to score come back and score three in the third. They didn't have to score a bunch of goals. They held, you know, bend but not break. Their goaltending was good. And they shut out a team on the road, a good team, in their second game in as many nights. They came back and were better in the game, I think, against the Sharks than they were against the Ducks. Now, different caliber of opponent perhaps right now. But they looked really impressive to me last night. And it was the individual performances. You had a lot of guys that were really good. I think both John Gaudreau and TJ Brody played their best games as NHLers last night. Gaudreau was everywhere. You talk about the puck following a guy. He was all over the ice. I looked this morning. How is it that he only played 15 minutes and 50 seconds? It seemed like he was out there every second shift.
He's been great.
And Brody was, I mean, the assist on the Hudler goal, which is the game winner. I mean, spinning off of a check, lugging it through the middle, drawing a guy to him, backhand saucer to the slot, which he's done a couple of times now. He's got that move down, the backhand pass right into the middle that results in a goal. He was splendid, I would say. Also, the commitment to defense. I wrote it down last night. They blocked 30 shots.
TJ blocked 6 to lead the team.
Yeah, while he's leading the charge offensively, it's from, like, the blue line.
What's TJ doing below the hash marks in San Jose zone? Then he zips it back the other. Oh, block shot, TJ.
Yeah,
how he's everywhere.
Yeah,
he can skate like the wind.
Crazy, crazy stuff.
The wind can skate.
Weidman was good. Gaudreau was good. Jones was good.
Yes.
Right?
How about the power move down the right wing?
Yes.
Yes, please. Every night, please.
Monahan was, you know what? Wasn't spectacular, but still solid. Led the forwards in ice, doing what he does. 48% in the faceoff dot on a night where they won 39% of them.
And he didn't just lead them in ice time, boom. He was 4 minutes clear of the next highest forward, Curtis Glencross. What he is doing for this hockey club right now does not show up in goals, assists, and points. Mm. He's eating huge minutes as the only real center with a season of NHL experience on this roster against some of the best in the league. Two nights ago, Getzlaf, Kessler. Last night, he would get Thornton, Couture, whoever they threw down the middle. I mean, what he is doing as a 20-year-old man, what, 90, 100 games into his NHL career?
Yeah.
It's stunning.
It is. It really is.
He's Taves Light. That's what it looks like.
And the other thing that I looked at that just kind of stuck out to me were the different elements of the game. I thought Schmid was okay. There was a couple times where he kind of kept guys to the outside. Now, it's not going to happen every night, but Weidman was good. Schmid was good. Russell was back in doing what, you know, he was good. So they have kind of both kinds of defense right now. Decent defensive, and they're really moving the puck. All of those guys are moving the puck.
Yeah, and I think Schmid's probably helped, but he's playing alongside a guy last night in Diaz who can skate a little while. When England or Schmid are together, you're like, geez, those guys can't move. But when one can skate, it helps out the other guy.
So just you put it all together, and I felt like you've got some playmakers. You've got some scorers. Hudler's now leading the team with 10 goals. You've got some physicality that's come in. I liked Ferland's game last night.
Ferland's a big piece moving forward.
Quiet.
Big piece moving
forward.
But
he, you know, lays out the big body check. If he only gets more comfortable, that is a huge part. It just felt like, okay, they have a lot of different components here of a team that's a good hockey team, and they found a way to win at the end of the night.
And Kari Rammo looked as good as he's looked all season, which is a great sign moving forward, because let's be frank, Jonas Hiller's had some stinkers the last 2 weeks. Almost one every two games, you'd say. Washington off the end wall. There were some bad ones against Florida. Anaheim, the one you wouldn't love, were coming out of the corner. Yeah. I mean,
now
this is. I think it's back on. Competition in net again. It isn't tradesies anymore.
Yeah, you know what? And somebody was mentioning on the fan feedback line, Paul Byron. I know Kelly Rudy referenced that one shift. Strips the puck of Thornton, takes it down low, spins off of Thornton again, gets it going, moving around. He was great. Right? I mean, there were a lot of guys that stepped up. And I know that the Montreal game was really exciting and impressive, and we talked about best game of the year. I think from a fundamental standpoint, last night might have been, for me, their most complete game. Even though the Sharks did outshoot them, you're going to get outshot, you're going to get out-hustled, you're going to get out-skilled. But they did exactly what they had to do, almost to the letter. Goaltending, defense, pick your spots, opportunistic. They were disciplined. They only took two penalties on the night. It was an all-around good one for the Flames, as they now improve to 14-8-2. 6:22, a very busy show today. It's Thursday. Lack and Fora, pools and props. Arash Badani in Vancouver with, obviously, Grey Cup coming around the corner. We're going to have Eric Tkachuk, Derek Wills, and plenty more on your Thursday. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
I smell terrific.
You feel terrific.
I feel great.
It's new Boomer over there.
Got to bed late, got to bed after midnight.
One word.
Flat-footed.
Feel great.
I smell terrific.
Yeah.
Lupo's on the road now, so you don't feel guilty when you play those clips. Because you always see him at the Dome, and he's like, you guys are always playing those clips on the morning show. What's going on?
You know what's funny about that? Didn't feel guilty even when he was in town.
Well, you didn't, but
no,
I do.
Come on.
They're so similar, it's really almost like apples and oranges.
Huh?
He's a buddy. If you're not taking runs, then there, if you are out there and you're not getting runs taken at you, there's a problem.
One word. Look out.
I put on Twitter last night, which is great. It's the power of this show and the listeners. And Twitter, and just how everybody is in on one word. All right, they're in on it now. Adirondack won 9 in a row, their 9th straight game last night
over Toronto.
Yeah, so I put on Twitter, 9 straight wins for Adirondack. One word, Ryan Huska. one poor soul responds saying,
"Hey."
That's two words.
That's two words, Boomer.
And then everybody just piled on him. They just asked, hey, stupid. Hey, moron. I mean, he was right, but yeah, then he took a verbal beating and tongue lashing. 2-0 Flames over the San Jose Sharks last night. Hoodler, the goal scorers, one into an empty net. He's got 10 to
lead
the team.
The Hoodlers.
Yeah, the Hoodler boys, real good. 14-8-2 are the Calgary Flames. And after 7 o'clock,
he's on pace for 30-plus.
Some controversy that we'll get into. Some statistical controversy, and you being the king of stats.
I'm not the king of stats.
I'll let you weigh in.
I enjoy to look at them, see if they make sense or not.
All right. NHL last night, 19 other games. Buffalo at home to...
38 teams in action.
That's right. Buffalo at home to the Winnipeg Jets last night. Jets score early and hang on for a 2-1 win. Chris Stewart, the only goal. Stewart's name coming around a lot in trade rumors these days.
Really? They just added him.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good sign when you're Chris Stewart.
Nah, they're moving.
Unless you want out of Buffalo.
They're rebuilding.
He was supposed to be a piece moving forward. By the way, special teams getting it done. The power play and shorthanded the two goals for the Jets.
Yeah. Sabres had won 3 straight. That is over. Adam Lowry. Smashed Patrick Coletta from behind into the glass. Perchance he gets a call from the league office. We'll see. Jets move to 8-4-2 on the road.
Lowry.
Why do I know it's Mike Lowry?
Because I'm Mike Lowry.
I'm a Mike Lowry.
I'm a Mike Lowry.
Lowry.
The Islanders, home to the Washington Capitals. Sorry, Washington.
Thank you.
Alexander Ovechkin, 2 goals, including...
both in power play.
433 goals. It was his 700th game.
Congrats, Alex.
I'll give you the significance of that in a moment.
Yep.
The Islanders, though, they would come back a couple of times. Down 1-0. They were up. They blew 2 leads. That's up 1-0 and then 2-1. Two overtime. John Tavares. Sick. Sick
Look
mitts.
Out.
Yeah, sick mitts. Johnny Boychuk with his 12th helper of the year. Yep. They have won 10 of 11.
Telling you, Isles are coming.
In the month of November, the Islanders are 10-2. Halak has won 8 in a row. The team in general has won 5 straight. But as I mentioned, 11 games, 10 wins, and not much more you could hope for.
Only Pittsburgh better in the Metro.
Alexander Ovechkin mentioned game 700. So he now, after last night, has the 7th highest goal total at 700 games.
7th highest. He so has, 6 guys got there quicker.
Yeah, he has 4.
Or had more, I should say.
Well, he had more at 700. He has 433. Bure has 436. Pavel, obviously. Not Val.
Not Val, no.
Young guns. Yari Curry, 454. Brett Hull, 504. Mike Bossy, 542. Mario Lemieux, 580.
Lemieux.
And Wayne Gretzky had 589 goals.
When are they going to put him in the Hall of Fame? What a crying shame.
Yeah, he's the one guy you never hear about.
No. Messier's everywhere. I don't know. Why can't Gretzky get some pub?
Detroit at home to Philadelphia. Flyers look to be a mess right now. They lose 5-2 to the Wings. They've lost 6 of 7. 6 straight on the road. And they had, you know what they had last night?
Tell me.
Player meeting.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Red flag, white flag, wave the flag.
Yeah. Some kind of flag.
I don't know what kind of flag it is, but it's trouble. It's the trouble flag.
Claude Giroux, Jakub Voracek scoring for the Flyers. Other than that, it was all Detroit.
No one else has been scoring for these guys. Voracek's like right there in top 4 or 5 in league scoring. 10 multi-point games already this year.
For Detroit, Datsyuk had a pair of goals. He missed 4 games. He's got goals in each of his last 6, so that kind of dates back prior to the injury and all that. But for the Flyers, 6 of 7, and they are tumbling.
Steve Mason got El Yankaruno when he allowed 3 goals on 13 shots. 14 shots. Yeah. Not a good start for him.
The Rangers in Tampa Bay to take on the Lightning. The return of Martin St-Louis to Tampa Bay, and they booed the tar out of him.
I thought he didn't want to leave. It's baffling.
Yeah. Callahan, 2 goals and an assist, which is odd also, because I heard he wasn't very good.
Callahan.
I heard he was kind of a heart and souler.
Couldn't even get 20 in his bleeping.
He doesn't want to leave.
That's right.
Who the kid, I like him, he's a heart and souler, but he couldn't score more than 25 or 30 goals in his f***ing lifetime.
He's on pace for 25. He's got 10 already.
Yeah, he's got 10.
Dental plan.
Thought it was Callahan.
Florida Panthers home to the Carolina Hurricanes. Somehow 8,000 people showed up for this at the BB&T Center.
Bless their souls.
1-0 Panthers.
And Bob Lue gets hurt.
Nick Bjugstad scored 21 seconds into the game. That was it. Luongo gets hauled out, injured upper body in the second period. So he and Al Montoya share the shutout for the Canes. They had turned things around briefly. They've now lost 6 of 7, and they have a league worst road record of 2-9-2.
Now, I'm in fantasy. I got Luongo. I don't get the shutout because he got pulled from the game, right? Didn't show up as a shutout, and yet he didn't allow a goal. Neither did Al Montoya, and I don't think either of them are going to get the shutout.
What a rip-off!
Well, they have to. Someone has to.
I would think so. It's baffling.
Sometimes you'll get the shutout
he
and not...
He doesn't get along with Eiserman. What a bunch of shit that is.
That was the last game. We've already moved on to the Panthers and Canes.
Don't give me this,
Phil.
All right.
Settle down, Phil. We're talking about the state rivals, the Panthers.
He doesn't want to leave.
All right,
it's nice in Florida. We get it.
He's to Pittsburgh. The Toronto Maple Leafs taking on the Penguins. And Blake Como, if you've got him in your draft, what a night.
And you're probably in last until today.
And I got to know how deep your draft is.
Seriously, 28 rounds, 400 teams.
Como with the hat trick, the final one coming in overtime for the game winner, 4-3. Penguins take it.
Mm.
Sid, 800 points. He becomes the 6th fastest to reach the 800-point plateau.
Kind of neat. The same night, you get to see Ovi at 700. Sid picks up point number 800. I mean, these are guys that are amongst the top 10 players ever in terms of their point production. Mm-hmm. And you don't think about this as a high-scoring era. These are two of the best we're watching.
Minnesota Wild home to the Los Angeles Kings. Another stinker from Darcy Kemper. Didn't make it out of the first period. 4 goals on 10 shots. Backstrom comes in and shuts the door the rest of the way, but the damage had been done. Richards, Brown, Toffoli, and Williams. 4-0 is the final.
Ooh.
Martin Jones, the former hitman, gets his first shutout of the season, his 5th of his career. And when I say career, I mean 23 games. 5 shutouts in 23 games. That is the 3rd fastest to achieve 5 shutouts in number of games played.
Pick him up!
Tony Esposito. So again, Jones in 23. Tony O got there in 22 games.
Wow.
Steve Mason had 5 shutouts in 20 games.
Columbus?
That's correct.
What a start he had there. Mm-hmm. Remember, he was fooling everyone, the southpaw. He's, he catches with the wrong hand.
Yeah.
Looks like I'm looking in a mirror when I'm coming in on that. Baffling. I figured that out pretty quick.
Final game of the night, the Colorado Avalanche, home to the Chicago Blackhawks. Hawks on that extended road trip. 6 games, 7 games, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The
rodeo. Or sorry, the circus road
circus,
trip.
Circus, yeah. Circus trip. The Kane show was on as Patrick Kane assisted on all 3 Hawks goals. They win it 3-2. It was Ryan O'Reilly's first goal in 11 games. He's got 3 in the season. Avs had won 4 of 5, but they lose this one. Shots on goal, 45-29 in favor of the Hawks, who they're heating up. They're like a microwave. They're heating up.
It's a great analogy.
640.
A little predictable. Here it used a lot, but it's a good one.
The National Football League has decided that because it's Thanksgiving Thursday in the States, we may as well play some football.
Why not?
They're going to be back to back football today. Lots to get into with Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider, brought to you by Shanks Sports Grill, and we'll do it in about 3 minutes. Sports at 960 The Fan.
Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sports at 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
6:44 on your Thursday morning. Flames come up with a big road win last night. Lose in Anaheim, turn around and go to San Jose last night and defeat the Sharks by a score of 2-0. Kari Ramo, the shutout, 32 saves, a pair of goals from Yuri Hudler. He's got 10 on the season to now lead the Flames in goal scoring. A couple days in Arizona, they'll take on the Coyotes on Saturday night. But it is American Thanksgiving, and it is Thursday, which means a whole lot of football, so perfect timing for our NFL insider.
Sportsnet 960's NFL insider Jason Lacanfora is brought to you by Shanks. Thursday night football tonight at Shanks North and Shanks South as the San Francisco 49ers take on the visiting Seattle Seahawks. Featuring 495 Bud Light Draft, Shanks Sports Grill, your NFL headquarters in Calgary.
And of course, it's Thanksgiving, so you got your Cajun turkey.
You got the grub all day at Shanks.
Got the potatoes, the gravy. Because for a guy like me, I'm jealous. I love the way the Americans do the Thanksgiving. So we sit here up here in the cold, and we wish we could do it differently. Then go to Shanks. It'll be warm.
Do it.
And there's turkey and football. It's like being kind of an American for a couple hours.
It's better than work.
First game of the day, Jason, is Chicago at Detroit. Let's start there. Interesting for the Lions. They've lost 2 in a row. Those are the 2 games in which Megatron came back. Not that they're better without him. But when you thought maybe their season was doomed as he needed to take a break, they actually played better football. And at 7-4, they got the Bears. This is must-win stuff.
Yeah, it's a big game for them. I mean, I think, you know, some people are making a lot out of the 2 straight losses. And, I mean, I guess I get it. And there's certainly been people waiting for the other shoe to drop with Detroit. Are they really this good? But, I mean, let's look at who they lost to quality teams, you know. I mean, when they've played inferior teams or teams that maybe aren't quite as physical as they are, they've suffered. But, I mean, going out to Arizona, losing by 1 score, I mean, at that time, Arizona hadn't lost a game in, 6 weeks. And then, geez, New England, come on. I mean, we'll see what New England does in Green Bay, but no one looked like they're beating New England right now, especially not in New England. So I think they take care of business today on CBS and hammer a Bears team that is not good at all. And the Bears, I mean, people look at it and say, well, the Bears have won 2 in a row. Well, they've played crappy teams, and they've struggled. I mean, if anybody watched them play Tampa Bay last week. I mean, that was, it was hard to, it was like physically hard to watch that game. It was being played at such a poor level, and the Bears were lucky to win at home. So, you know, to me, logic and reason says the Lions get back on track today, but it's a rivalry game. It's a short week. Crazy stuff tends to happen in some of these games.
Yeah. You know what? Staying with the Bears for a moment, what your thoughts on the future for Jay Cutler in Chicago?
I mean, the way that contract's structured, he's going to be there at least one more year. You know, he'll make his $18 million next year. And then if they, you know, I don't know if they'll have the same coaching staff. I don't know if they'll have the same general manager. Certainly a lot can change in this league in a year. And they may very well have a new coach and general manager this offseason anyway. But I can't imagine that family giving him $20 million in year one and owing him another $18 and being willing to bite the bullet on that deal. I mean, that thing is, he's pretty much bound to them until 2016. But this is who he is. I mean, people still talk about him like he's a young quarterback. This is like his eighth year. I mean, this is it. Like, this is what you get. There'll be some incredible moments where he makes a couple throws and you're like, man, you fall in love with his arm talent. But the mind has to be connected to the arm and the heart. And that's a leadership position. And when you're a laissez-faire guy and you don't rub everybody the right way, and you're tied for the league in turnovers, you're going to get people fired, and you know you're going to create problems for your organization. And he has, especially when he's the highest paid player in the league this year. He's making $22.5 million in this year, in 2014, more than anybody else in the NFL.
Yeah. He is Jason Lackenfor, our NFL insider, joining us on the Lube City Mobile One Sportsnet Hotline. Lube City, a change for the better, featuring Mobile One, the official motor oil of NASCAR.
Jay, I'm fascinated by this afternoon game. You've got Dallas hosting Philadelphia. They're tied in the NFC East. These are two good football clubs, but how do they match up and what's at stake? Can one of these teams still win the division if they lose today?
I think it's possible, but not necessarily probable. I mean, the interesting thing about both these games, that game and then the San Francisco-Seattle game, is I think they both play, obviously they both play today, and then I think they both come around and play each other again in 2 weeks. So it's you know, that's going to, I know everyone thought that Seattle and San Francisco would settle that division. Arizona's had something to say about that. But yeah, I mean, the Eagles or the Cowboys are going to win that division. The question is, does the other one get in as a wild card? You know, and that's to be determined. I don't buy either team's defense, but their offense is generally good enough that they keep that defense off the field just enough to win. Will that be able to work today? I'm not sure. I mean, Mark Sanchez threw two picks last week. He's going to turn the ball over. The Eagles, the crazy thing about the Eagles is they've got 27 giveaways, which is by far the most in the league. Yet they're still 8-3. If you look at the other nine teams in the bottom 10 in terms of takeaways, the other nine teams that have given the ball away the most, they're like a combined 60 games below 500. Like, the Eagles stick. You look at all these teams' records, and you're like, my God, like, the odds would say if this is who the Eagles continue to be, they're going to look a lot more like those other nine teams bunched with them than they look like the teams who aren't turning the ball over in terms of their record. So I'm just wondering, they've scored 12 return touchdowns in 11 weeks. I mean, that's a record pace. I mean, in the history, you go back and look at those stats. Usually, if a team's at 10, 11, 12 return scores in an entire season, they're leading the league. These guys have done 12 and 11 games. I don't know that that can continue. Maybe it does, but that's what intrigues me about the Eagles. I mean, you know Chip Kelly's going to run the ball. You know they'll hit some big plays on offense. But I just wonder about that turnover ratio, and I wonder about that defense.
Tony Romo's got this reputation of a guy that can be good, but the bigger the stage, the more he seems to struggle. I don't know how much of that is myth versus backed up with stat, but do you start to worry about him when you get closer to December? Because he has had some epic collapses in his career in Dallas.
He has, but I also feel like he never gets enough credit for kind of single-handedly getting his team back into some of those games. And yeah, I mean, to me, that game against Denver last year, if you remember that one, I mean, I think it ended up being 42-38 or something like that. I mean, the Cowboys were not very good. The Broncos were world beaters at the time. And Denver got up, and Romo just took the game over. I mean, I think at one point he was like 35 for 38. He was averaging like 15 yards per passing play. I mean, it was incredibly efficient. He gets them back into the game, and then he throws the pick at the end. But you can't discount what he did to get them back in the game. And I think he's a hell of a quarterback. I mean, people compare him. Like, anyone who puts him and Cutler in the same sentence to me, is that's mind-boggling. I think Tony Romo is a much better quarterback than Jay Cutler. And he's certainly a better leader, and he's certainly a guy that rallies people around him and people want to play for and with. So I don't think Tony Romo's the problem there. I just think that team has been built like a fantasy football team most years. And they finally got their offensive line together a little bit this year over the last couple of years and got a real offensive line coach in there like Coach Callahan. And that's helped Tony as much as anything. And, they were always imbalanced. In the past, they just wanted to throw. You know, they're riding DeMarco Murray. So I think all that goes into the equation. And I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the year we're looking at statistics and you start making a case for Tony Romo as an MVP.
Good points. The night game is going to be fantastic. Seattle, San Francisco, always special when they meet. But both teams are 7-4. And as you mentioned, Arizona's a couple games better than both those squads. There's probably not room for three in the division. This feels huge.
Yeah, it is. And again, they play again in 2 weeks. And if Seattle can get the upper hand here on the road, then you know that the 49ers are coming in there in 2 weeks, literally playing for their season. Just getting swept, either of these teams getting swept in these two games likely precludes them going to the postseason. It's a toss-up game. I like what Seattle's doing right now. I mean, Russell Wilson, he's running the football better than anybody in the NFL. He's averaging 8 yards a carry. He's got 250 yards rushing in the last three games. And Marshawn Lynch in the month of November is one of the top five rushing leaders in the NFL as well. So after the Percy Harvin trade, they recalibrated who they are and what they think they can do. And they're kind of going old school, bare knuckle. You know, we're going to just try to run it down your throats. And given some of the issues on their offensive line and pass protection, frankly, that's probably what they have to do. And let's face it, the 49ers are a very limited offensive team right now. And they've kind of made the same decision. Like, you know what? We don't have it going downfield. We'll take our shots here and there. But in the meantime, we got to reestablish Frank Gore. We got to get this kid, Carlos Hyde, some carries. And we're going to have to use read option looks from Kaepernick as well to try to have him beat teams with his feet. So I think they're kind of at similar stages, and they're kind of similar teams. You watch those teams play, and you see that they're kind of built to beat the other. It's pretty interesting. And I think a couple of young pass rushers can settle this game. Alden Smith has gotten better each of the 2 weeks back from suspension. You know he'll be fired up for this game. And as I said, Seattle's got some issues defending protecting the quarterback. And Bruce Irvin, you know, he's a guy who has a lot of talent, a young pass rusher for Seattle, but very inconsistent. And can he bring it? You know, he had a great game over the weekend. Can he bring it twice in 5 days? And if he can, San Francisco could be in some trouble.
Jason Lockenfora, our NFL insider for Shanks Sports Grill. Today, all day at Shanks, the turkey, the fixins, and the football. A couple of, I guess, controversial quarterbacking notes this week. The Jets going back to Geno Smith, and in Washington, it's Colt McCoy. I guess I kind of understand the Jets. You're 2-9. The season's lost. You're going back to Geno, I guess, to give him more time. What do the Redskins stand to benefit in sitting down RG3?
Nothing. I mean, well, what do you, look, they were so limited in what they thought they could do with this kid last week. They ran a Pop Warner offense where they didn't even attempt to get the ball anywhere downfield. So you start running the risk of having guys like Deshaun Jackson, who hasn't always been a happy camper anywhere he's been, and who brings some baggage. You have now you're a young rookie coach, Jay Gruden, and you're like, okay, so this is one of our highest paid players. We can't even remotely get the ball to him with RG3 at quarterback. We're running this rudimentary stuff, trying to build this kid up, and I'm doing this at the risk of losing some of my veterans. So he's going to do what makes sense for him. You know, he's trying to establish himself as an NFL head coach. RG3 is not going to be there next year. So why am I going to go to war with these guys who will be here? So, you know, he's kind of doing the path of least resistance for him. The idea that they're resuscitating RG3 this offseason or that he has some future in Washington is poppycock. It's ridiculous. They're just trying to create some trade value for him. There won't be much. They'll cut him. Somebody will sign him as a developmental quarterback. And at age 24, maybe he still has a future. It's not going to be in Washington. But I would have played Kirk Cousins, if anything else. I mean, you go back to that 2012 draft. You trade 76 picks for RG3. You trade first rounder or second rounder in that draft. You take an offensive lineman who can't play at all in the third round. Then your fourth round pick in that same draft is Kirk Cousins. They're not even putting him on the field. I mean, Colt McCoy hadn't started a game in 3 years until that Monday night game where he beat Dallas. So they're trying to do something now. It's not going to work in the present or the future. And they're a lost organization, and they'll probably remain that way as long as they have the people making decisions there that they do. The Jets, yeah, I mean, Mike Vick's got nothing left. I'm surprised they rode with him as long as they did. And that's a case where the coach definitely won't be back. I'd be very shocked if the general manager's back. And they'll be in the market for a new quarterback and a new management team, and we'll see what direction they go in. I wouldn't be stunned, knowing that owner a little bit, I wouldn't be stunned if RG3 ends up with the Jets.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what? Interesting that maybe 2 or 3 degrees of separation. One of the teams that's really been impressive here over the last month or so has been the St. Louis Rams, maybe more than that. And, of course, that's the team that really benefited from the RG3 trade. And some of the assets that came in that trade are starting to pay dividends for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit slower going than they'd like. And, you know, they haven't had any stability.
And they don't have their quarterback.
This has held them back. Yeah, they've had no stability at the quarterback position. You know, I can't imagine Sam Bradford's back there next year. I mean, if they pay him $14 million coming off back-to-back ACL after already paying him over $50 million, then they need their heads examined. So, yeah, I mean, I like what they've done. They haven't hit on all those draft picks, and some of them, again, the Ogletrees have been a little slow to come along. Janoris Jenkins, he flashes, but, I don't think you could call him an elite cover corner yet. The kid they drafted, Aaron Donald, has really come along, last year's first-round pick. You know, but they missed on Tavon Austin. I mean, they traded up to get Tavon Austin, and he barely gets on the field. I mean, that coupled with not having a quarterback has really killed them. But, look, they're competitive week in, week out. They should have beat San Diego last week. We know they beat Seattle. They've had some other teams on the ropes. They just can't close, and they've got to figure out the quarterback position.
I love the action today, but Sunday afternoon and evening is going to be sensational. New England, Green Bay, and probably the battle of the two teams going the best at this juncture of the season. And then Denver, Kansas City, that'll have a lot to do to say in determining the AFC West, in my opinion. How do you see those games playing out?
I like Denver there. I like how they're running the football. They like this kid, C.J. Anderson. He went through about a 2 or 3 week period where Peyton Manning was getting hit way too often. And there was definite concern there about how we're going to sustain this for another 7, 8 weeks, including the playoffs. So I think Kansas City, if Denver just sticks to that run game, Kansas City's horrible against the run, giving up over 5 yards a carry. I mean, that's the way I expect Denver to attack them. And New England, Green Bay, boy, oh boy. I mean, which quarterback has the ball in his hands last, right? I mean, that could settle that one.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, that one's going to be we need new bulbs on the scoreboard after that contest.
Jay, enjoy your Thanksgiving. We are jealous, but we'll celebrate as best as we can up here. Enjoy the football, man. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. I'll save some turkey for you.
Thanks, buddy.
Love it. Jason Lack-Canfora. What a day to be at Shanks, too.
Our NFL insider. Back-to-back-to-back football games today. They've got the turkey, the gravy, the potatoes, the fixins, the drinks, the football. What more do you want?
All you need to do is scheme a way to get out of work. So here's what it's looking like. At 10:30 on City, we've got Chicago at Detroit. 2:30 this afternoon, Eagles at Dallas, also on City. And then the night game, 6 o'clock on Sportsnet, Seattle, San Francisco. This is going to be awesome.
There you have it. That's your football story. After the break, we get back to the hockey story, where last night the Calgary Flames go into San Jose, which, man, over the last number of years has just been an awful place for the Flames. Last night, victory. Shutout victory over the Sharks, who may be in the news for other reasons very, very soon. Details coming. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.